Well, it's a super exciting service we have today. We're not going to have a sermon as we normally do. The sermon is going to be from the eight people who are going to share some testimonies and then live that out in obedience as they have this baptism experience today. Before we actually have the baptism service, I just wanted to take a few minutes and talk about why we baptize people the way we do. As I said, the sermon today is not for me, it's from these eight people. They're going to come up here in a few minutes. And the reality is that the water baptism has been practiced by Christians throughout all of church history. The observance of baptism has been expressed differently among Christian groups, such as sprinkling, pouring, and of course, immersion. But the major differences among Christian groups concerning baptism is whether it should be administered at infancy or when a person becomes a believer. And I today want to show you some examples from the New Testament that demonstrate why we immerse when we baptize people and why we don't baptize infants. There's no infants being baptized today. You'll notice everyone they're all adults. But more fundamental than those issues is this question. Why have these eight people and many, many others before them made this decision? Why should a person be baptized? I want to give you three reasons. One, to follow the example set by Jesus. By Jesus himself. It says in Mark's gospel, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth and was baptized by John in the river. So you might not know the context of this verse, but Jesus was about to begin his public ministry. And even though Jesus was God's son and he was divine, and he had never sinned and never would sin, he had no need to be baptized, but he did it as an example to his followers. So to follow Jesus, that's what we say here. We want to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus means to follow him in baptism, as well as all other areas of faith and practice. The second reason why a person should be baptized, because Christ commands it. It says at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, "Go then to all people everywhere, and make them my disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to obey everything I have commanded you." So it's interesting that Jesus started his ministry, his own ministry, by being baptized, and then he ended it with, he left this great commission, what we call the Great Commission, he left this great commission to his followers that they should go and make disciples and baptize them. So it's instruction or a commission for the church to disciple and baptize people, but it's a commission for the individual to be willing to be baptized. And there's a third reason. It demonstrates that I'm really a Christian. It says in Acts, many of the people who heard him believed and were baptized. So we as historic Anabaptists, we see that the order in the Bible is very clear to us. First, a person believes. They have to make their own personal decision about whether they want to follow Jesus. And then, as a symbol of that decision, as a symbol of that commitment, then they are baptized as a picture of the new life they have through Christ. That's why we're not baptizing any infants, because they have not yet decided. So the order in the Bible is that baptism follows belief. So that's why we ask people to share a testimony, because we want them to say they've made that decision. This is their statement that they've decided they want to follow Jesus. And having made that decision, just as we see in the Bible, we then baptize them. What is the meaning of baptism? It's a beautiful illustration of two things. It illustrates Christ's burial and resurrection. says in the Bible. For when you are baptized, you are buried with Christ, and in baptism, you were also raised with Christ. It's an illustration of Jesus being buried as death, and then coming to new life as resurrection. Secondly, it illustrates my new life as a Christian. It says in the Bible, by our baptism then, we were buried with him and shared his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, so also we may live a new life. As one would expect, God is quite clever. He gives us this very clever symbol to believers and to the church that helps us remember Christ's death, he's buried, and his resurrection, but also our death because of sin and the new life we have through Christ. Why be baptized by immersion? Well, baptism in the Bible was by immersion. It says about Jesus, Matthew's gospel, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. It says in Acts, and both Philip and the man went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. I mean, obviously they're not sprinkling them. You could stand on the shore to do that. They went down into the water, and they were immersed. In fact, the word baptize, it's an interesting thing. It's actually, it means to immerse. It means to dip underwater. And when the original translators of the King James Bible were translating it, some of them were uncomfortable translating the word baptize as immerse because they didn't practice immersion. So rather than translate the word as it should have been done, they transliterated the word. So they took the word baptizo and they made it an English equivalent, baptize. But it was a compromise on the original language of the New Testament. So the accepted mode for the Brethren Christ Church, as you'll see in a few minutes, it's a forward kneeling immersion as a sign of humble obedience. So just as Christ bowed his head in death, so a believer kneels or bows in submission to God. And we immerse three times in honor of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But to be honest, we don't know from the Bible whether they were baptized forward or backward, whether it's one time or three times. But I love the sentiment and I love the symbolism of our tradition that when a person is baptized forward, they're doing so in humility, in obedience. And as they're baptized three times, they're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people say to me, Todd, when should I get baptized? I always say the same thing, as soon as possible. There's nothing to wait for. In fact, in the Bible, people were often baptized immediately after their decision to follow Jesus. It says in Acts, then Philip began with the scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the man said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized right now? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The man answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. As soon as possible. So if Jesus were here, I think he would say at this point, well, what are we waiting for? Let's get going. So we're going to invite each of the persons being baptized to come up here and to just share a testimony for two or three or four minutes, and then they'll go into the tank where I'll immerse them. Thomas Wake is going to go first.
Testing?
Okay.
Okay, good. This works. I didn't prepare a speech. I thought that after I got a whole lot of good things said about my Nicaragua speech thing, I thought I could wing this one too. Before I really started thinking about being baptized, I should take this out. I'll put it back in. Before I really started thinking about being baptized, I wanted to take a cue from Zach Slater and do an 8-word, I believe in God, and that's it, kind of thing. But at this point, I think I've realized that there's more to say than just that. And I think that I've really matured as a person and in my spiritual journey. One of the biggest steps for me was when I was going through a bit of a difficult time and I was feeling overwhelmed. And then a whole bunch of things were happening. I didn't know how to cope. And the Bible really never came into my mind to use. What happened was just a normal day at church, and Pastor Todd decides to deliver a sermon. I need to use this better. He decides to do a sermon on what to do when you're feeling overwhelmed. And I just felt like, hey, God just is giving me exactly what I need to get through this. That influenced me to go to Nicaragua, and that also really spoke to me to see how all over the world people are worshiping God in different ways, but still with the same passion. I've never really felt so sure about being baptized before, but now I realize that a whole bunch of family and friends are here supporting me, and people from Toronto and Pennsylvania have come for just this one day, and that makes me feel really, really special, so I want to thank them for that. Also, I've got a whole lot of support from my friends, and I actually have a little present here, which is a little vial of water from the Jordan River. So I want to put that into the tank, and it gives me a little bit of a I'm doing what Jesus gives vibe. So that also makes me feel good, and I think that's all I have to say.
Hi. Thanks. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents are Christian, and I grew up going to church every day, not every day, every week. And I went to youth group, and I always thought I was a Christian. But at the same time, I wasn't really taking it seriously. I think youth group was more an opportunity for me to just goof off and flirt with girls and not really develop spiritually at all. And so that went on for a while, and eventually I went on to high school, and the church got a youth pastor, and he invited me to a weekend retreat. I think it was called the Choir of the Fire. And there, I had an opportunity to meet other people my own age who actually were taking their faith seriously. And I got to see what that looks like, and it just totally blew me away, because I had always gone to church, but it never really clicked. There was no passion, there was no drive, there was no, there's no fire. So that was a pivotal moment for me when I really connected with God and invited him to actually be a part of my life and take over and change me into a new person. So, I invited God in, and then I can say over the years, he's changed me inside and out, and so I'm very grateful.
How's everybody doing today on this beautiful Sunday? I'll share a little bit about myself. I grew up, I was born in California. I was baptized a Pentecostal. Throughout my life, I've had two dads. My mom divorced the first one, moved to Windsor, Ontario. And then for 16 years, she was married to my father, who I consider my dad. He was Catholic, she was Protestant, so there was always this confusion. Well, when I was 18, they got divorced, and that began a really, really dark time in my life. I started doing drugs and drinking, like, my face off every day. You know, I started stealing. I was in an abusive relationship with a previous partner for about 8 years. And then one day, we got into this huge argument, and I broke a table in a rage. I then went to jail for a day and a half. And it was like the most horrific experience I ever had in my entire life. I don't recommend it for anybody. When I came out, a lady from the Salvation Army had given me a Bible. And I started reading it, and I started praying it. And then all of a sudden, my life started turning around. I met my beautiful wife today. I have 4 kids that are amazing. And as I grow in my relationship with God, my life just keeps getting better and better and more joyous. So that's why I'm getting rebaptized. So thank you very much.
Well, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Next up is David Winger.
All right. I'm David. My relationship with Jesus Christ started in middle school. My family would always come to church, and it was more of just like a tradition for me. But as I got older and began to go to youth group when I was in middle school, you know, I knew what Jesus was, and I knew all the stories of the Bible, but I didn't really have a closer relationship with him. But with going to youth group was kind of the beginning to really know Jesus. I met some great people there and built some great relationships, and the most important one was the one with Jesus. You know, my parents had a big influence on my faith and encouraged me to keep going to youth group, and they've been great role models for me and my siblings and showing us how to live a life for God. As I've been getting older, I've realized Jesus needs to be put first in everything I do, and everything else in life will work itself out. I've been thinking about getting baptized for a while, and a few weeks ago it was announced, and I just knew I had to be a part of it. So I asked that you pray for me that I continue on this journey of following Jesus, and that I understand that there's going to be ups and downs, but he's always there. I'm excited to take this next step in my relationship with God. Thanks.
in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, everyone. As Todd said, my name's Rudy. I wasn't an early Christian at all. My mom took us to church, and she tried to teach us religion, I suppose. But I just was bored. I didn't like it. It never fit me. I didn't like sitting at the church. So as I grew old, that was when I was young. Now I did ask Jesus to enter my heart when I was about 11 years old. But as I grew older, I became much smarter, and I knew that God was this presence in the universe, and it never was a personal thing for me. It was far more abstract, and I was so much smarter, and I just sort of drifted away from that and came up with my own religion, I suppose. I don't know. But as sometimes happens, tragedy hits, and sometimes, as Todd has mentioned, sometimes, though God isn't the author of misfortune, he can sometimes bring good things out of it. And I went through a very sudden separation and estrangement from my daughter and divorce, and I was a wreck. I wasn't functioning. I wasn't sleeping. I was taking a lot of sleeping pills, and I really didn't see where I was going to go. There was just nothing there, and I talked to my mom about it a lot, and once on the phone, she said, "Rudy, have you ever prayed?" And I said, "Prayed? I don't know how to pray, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite and start praying now." But she said, "No, we can pray. We can pray right now," and we did on the phone, and everything changed at that point. I had a peace come over me. I slept for the first time in what had to be at least 8 months. And I knew at that point my life was going to change. I don't know how I knew. I just knew I was going to church the next day with my mom. And I knew that I was going to go to the men's retreat. And I knew I was going to join the house church. All these things just became non-questionable for me. And when I look back in hindsight, I can see that God's working in my life to help me with those things. Todd's sermons I can't explain it, but they were bang on. The first sermon I came to was bang on for me about forgiveness and how accepting Jesus can begin to change your life. So I knew that there were some other baptisms, and I'd thought about it, but I held off. I've been going here probably for about 4 years now, I think. And I'd always held off because I never felt worthy. I always thought, I'm going to get better. I'm going to stop sinning. I can't do that now. I'm just not good enough for you. I got to wait. Oh, I screwed up again. Give me 6 months. Maybe then I'll do it. And again, just one of Todd's sermons nailed it for me when he said, you know, grace is not something you earn. It's not something you should even boast about. It's just a gift. And when I finally caught on, I realized now it's time for me to get baptized. So.
Rudy, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, I baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I think it's safe to say Grace is our oldest candidate today. Come on up, Grace. Grace has been at the church longer than many people here, and so it's been a delight to know her and her former or late husband, and so we're just thrilled to see you do this today.
Thank you. Well, as you all know, my name's Grace, and I'm going to start crying, so you'll have to bear with me. But I didn't come from a Christian family. None of my family ever went to church, only at Christians, weddings and funerals. But then when I came to Canada, I met some wonderful people. And most of them are in my house church now. And then my mum came over, and when she died, Pastor Dave, and a wonderful friend of mine, which most of you know, Sandra Chapman, she brought me to this church. And then I realized that there was something in this church that made me feel good, even though my wonderful family, they don't go to church, and they all think there's somebody there, but they haven't come to it as much as what I have. And I've got to thank my wonderful... Thank you. Thank you. And I've got to thank my wonderful sisters in House Church, because it's them that really helped me and pushed me in. Well, not pushed me, but helped me into this. And I know that as much as I've got a wonderful family, but like all great-grandmas, I've had downs and I've had ups, but now I'm getting all the ups because, believe it or not, but I'm going to be another great-grandma in September, and that'll be six of them. So I'm so proud of my family, and I love them all so very much as I love Jesus, and I just hope and pray, I do pray that I can keep the. Anyway, what the Bible says, I just try. Nobody's ever perfect, and I'm far from perfect. Just ask my family. But I do want you to pray for me. I'm worthy of what I'm going to do now. Thank you.
Next up is Pia, who's the newest person to her church, been coming a few months here. Her daughter's with her to help her.
Thank you. This is my daughter. She's my eyes, as you noticed. I'm a crier, too, so I don't know how long I'm going to be able to speak, but if you don't mind me crying through it. I lived my whole life without God in my life, without Jesus. I was too busy with my life, working. Time went on. I was too busy. No, I didn't know anyone who knew Jesus. I didn't know anyone. Nobody talked about God or Jesus except, you know, oh my God, you know? So I was saying it too. So I was too busy. I was working two jobs. I didn't make enough money to make ends meet. Couldn't afford a day off. Couldn't afford a vacation. My children. So one day, I broke my knee. It just went out for no reason. Maybe God broke it. I had to, I was disabled for many months. I sat at home, stayed with my dad. All he watched was sports on TV. It drove me crazy. I read every magazine in the house. Who reads every word in every magazine? Who does that? So I had nothing else to read. I couldn't stand the sports anymore. Blue Jays wasn't too bad, but... So I said to my dad, I'm going to bed. He goes, it's only 5 o'clock. I go, oh yeah, I'm really tired. I was so bored. I was just so bored. I used to working like 12 hours a day and rushing around. So I went to my room to lie down, and then there was a Bible. My mom had 20 years ago, she died. She left a Bible in the room. And I picked it up. And I said, okay, God, what do you got to say? So I know it doesn't sound very nice, but I started to read. I never put the Bible down. I can't read hardly anything else. I started to read that Bible, and I realized everything God did for me my whole life. I was like almost 60. Everything he did for me my whole life, the wonderful things he gave me, and I thought I had nothing. He gave me these wonderful children. He took care of me. I'm sure the angel saved me from any disasters on the road and things like that. And the more I read, the more I fell in love with Jesus. And I thought, I'm special. I always thought I was a nobody, not smart, not pretty enough, not good enough. And now I realize I'm a wonderful person. And what I had to do was I repented to Jesus, and I said, I accept you, Jesus. I love you. Come into my heart. And like Rudy said, this peace just comes over you. It's just beautiful, peaceful. I had no resentment. I forgave everyone that ever hurt me my whole life. I thought that would be hard, but it wasn't. It made me feel more peaceful and loving. When I look at people now, I don't see different races. I don't see pretty people. I don't see fat people. I see beauty in everyone, and I'm not lying. I see beauty in everyone because I look for it, because Jesus loves me. I thought, well, he loves that person. I love them too. Or I tried to love them. And then going to work after I healed, it was wonderful. I said, I was so happy to see everyone. And just I told everyone, and some people were secret Jesus lovers. They came out and started to speak with me every day, and that was wonderful. So anyway, I went back to work, working hard again, and then my father was diagnosed with cancer. I loved him so much. He was a very, very, very good, kind man to everyone. And he needed someone to care for him. Last 6 months, they gave him 6 months, they were bang on. And I wanted to, but I had to work. I prayed to God, I said, help me, he's alone. And then God found a way. I sold my house in like 2 weeks, moved in with my dad. I was with him every minute until he died. I was there, he died in my arms. And one wonderful thing I'll tell you, he didn't believe in God. He liked people who believed in God because he knew there were good people, but he didn't believe in God. And I prayed every night for Jesus to help me, help him believe in God, or come to him, or help him believe. And 2 weeks before he died, my daughter was sitting with him. He saw an angel. My dad was not on any medication. He refused all medication and drugs. He saw an angel in the room with him and my daughter. Was there sitting, waiting for him. And he told my daughter it was an angel. She couldn't see him, but I think the angels come when it's ready for you to go, like they did in the Bible with some disciples and other people. And then 2 days before he died, over his bed, he saw a cross. And he wasn't a religious man. He saw a cross. I said, you see a cross? For 2 days, it was in front of him. And the last day, like a few hours before I died, I said, it's Jesus. And he goes, yes. So I believe my father was saved, that Jesus waited, kept him alive until he believed, so Jesus would have another one to say, I got another one. So this is my happiest day of my life. One of them is to be baptized. And I asked Jesus to help me find a church. I found this one. I didn't look for any others. I came here. I have never met or been around so many people who love Jesus and believe in Jesus. It's beautiful to see. I'm still overwhelmed. I'm a baby Christian, I guess you call it. I've only been here 2.5 months. I can't believe the people I've met so far. It's just beautiful. And that's true about Todd's services being right on. Like, sometimes I cry, but oh God, and one time when I came and you said, when your life is falling apart, I thought it's falling apart. But it wasn't, because I have Jesus and my children and my life and so many prayers. God listens to your prayers. So many prayers for me have been answered. You don't get everything you want in life, but I sure found a lot since I found Jesus. And I'm looking forward. Thank you. Amen.
If you have faith on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Last but not least to me is my daughter, Brittany.
So I grew up in a Christian family, obviously. And I was exposed to faith at a really young age. I've always believed in God and understood what He did for me. I grew up attending Camp Kakwa every summer, and that played a large role in my spiritual journey. It was during these summers that I began to develop my personal relationship with Christ. In 2012, I stepped out in my faith and traveled to Quito, Ecuador for a missions trip, and it was there that I had to rely on God and experienced Him working in amazing ways. Today, I'm being baptized because it is very clear in the Bible that we are to make a personal decision to be baptized. In Acts 22:16, Paul says, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord."
Freddie was so nervous about speaking, about saying these few words today. I say, you sing on the worship team. Brittany, I baptize you based on your profession of faith. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I hope that you'll find all of these people in the foyer after the service and give them a hug, pat in the back, congratulate them for what they've done today. It's been a great day. It's been great to see all of you. God bless you in your travels this week.